How you doing today? Bernie Miklas back with you with another Bernie show here on my YouTube channel. Thanks again, as always, for your support and all your comments. I'm learning a lot from you. Seriously, you guys make me think about stuff I haven't thought about. But it's much appreciated. And I don't care if we disagree. It's all good. Good exchange. Anyway, not much good to say about the Cardinals. Not that I'm looking to make up like false hope, false positive things. We're way beyond that stage. Here's what concerns me. We know the Cardinals. This is what I want to talk about today. The state of the offense, and we know it's bad, right? I could read you a bunch of numbers. There's really no need to do it. I mean, they are absolutely horrendous, batting with runners in scoring position. I mean, just as a side note, you know, like last night, I mean, they get shut out by Cincinnati, and the Cardinals had chances. They were, not only were they 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position, they struck out 6 times. Every time they had a bat with RISP, they struck out. I mean, come on. And I've done work on this because, you know, I'm a research geek, and one, the biggest problem with runners in scoring position for them this season is they take too many called strikes. They swing at too many pitches out of the zone. And again, this is something that I looked up to see where they ranked. And in both of those areas, not good. But when you put the two together, it's particularly harmful. When you're watching strikes go down the middle, and you're chasing stuff out of the strike zone. So it's really bad. I mean, only Miami has scored fewer runs per game than the Cardinals among National League teams, and it just gets worse and worse. Every now and then there's a little run. Every now and then there's a little outburst. But even when that happens, we see strange things going on. Like the Cardinals, the last 7 games, their offense has been horrendous. It's been terrible. It's been flat. It's been dull. It's been overmatched. And yet 2 young players, and I talked about this yesterday, but I want to follow up on it briefly, 2 young hitters who right before this 7 straight games of like putrid offense, right before that stretch, the manager, Ali Marmol, decided, well, we need to play Lukin Baker. We're going to have to sit him down. And they sent Victor Scott down to the minors yesterday. And this is after, obviously, I recorded the video. So those 2 guys, as I mentioned yesterday, were really playing a major role in igniting the offense during a pretty hot streak by the Cardinals. And so the last 7 games they've done, the Cardinals as a team have been just abysmal offensively. One guy was sent to the minors, and the other guy, Lukin Baker, did not play last night again, and he has had 3 plate appearances in the last 7 games. What's my word? I like to do my hand gestures. You ready for some hand gestures? Cuckoo. I almost run out of words. I don't even know what to say at this point. Actually, I do. I have a lot to say. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not trying to bum you all out, but I'm also, and I don't think you all want to be, like, I don't think you want me to bum you all out. You want me to kind of play it straight or just give it to you straight and talk about not just this year, but talk about the future, like specifically 2025, right? And I feel like I'd be trying to pull some kind of con man routine by trying to tell you, oh, the Cardinals in 2025, watch out. Their offense, watch out, baby. It's the exact opposite. So I appreciate so much. I can't tell you. I appreciate so much the fact that you not only are good with when I go off, because, of course, I back it up with numbers, but you want me to. You want me to sort of put it out there because there's a lot of people that, you know, tiptoe around stuff. I don't know why. I'm not going to do it. So here's what's scary about this. We know that the offense has been bad this season, period. How's it going to be better in 2025? I'm serious. How is it going to be better? Now, you can look at a, you can look a couple, three guys and say, well, this guy should improve and that guy should improve and this guy has upside. Listen, let's go down the list. And when I talk about, I don't see how they get much better if that. Now, before I go into some of the particulars, yeah. Is this a systemic failure? Of course it is. They don't draft well. And when they talking about hitters, they don't draft well. And even when they draft these guys and they look like they're going to be good, then for some reason they fall apart and then they trade them for nothing. Yeah, that is the definition of systemic failure. We've talked about it. I've talked about it, you know, down in the minor leagues, they don't have enough instructors. They don't have enough coaches. They're not up to date on technology. So the organization, just in terms of their approach and their funding, is a big reason for the fact that with young hitters, they just don't reach their full potential. There's a lot of reasons that go into it. Now, we can say, we can point fingers at the batting coaches, and I have no problem doing that. I think this stuff is absurd, because when you have a team this bad at runners in scoring position, when they hit and the way they make outs with runners in scoring position, swinging at bad pitches, watching strikes go right down the heart of the plate. I mean, they're all got to go. I'm not even – the Turner Ward, obviously, okay? Got to go. I think they ought to just clean out that major league staff as far as hitting coaches. They need to start fresh, because whatever these guys are preaching and teaching and instructing to these players, the message ain't getting through, or if the message is well-received, the hitters really can't turn it into better results, except for Matt Carpenter, who's not a coach, telling Alec Burleson earlier in the year, look, you can hit for power, but you can't swing at so many pitches. Wait for one that you can drive. That worked great. Then Alec Burleson has been fading down the stretch, but overall he's had a pretty good season. So you have systemic failure. You can blame the coaching if you want to blame the manager for his lineup choices and curious things. You can do that. We know how bad the front office is. We know that ownership has not done their part. They've actually, they've actually, over the last several years, especially since the COVID season, they've actually cut back in what they invest in the minor leagues. So here's what I'm talking about. Sometimes, you know, you have a bad year, you have a down year offensively, but you know there are legitimate reasons to think, well, it'll be better. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say they're going to be 27 Yankees, but they'll be better offensively next season. I don't see it with this group. But let me put it to you this way. There's not enough to go on that gives me confidence of that. That's the polite version. There's not enough there where I say, well, there's some things developing. There's some things that could help them bounce back. I'm not going to spread false hope, because I'm very cynical and I'm very skeptical of all that. Why do I say it? Well, Goldschmidt and Arenado, down seasons, way down in power, okay? They've had their moments. I don't care about no moments. I'm talking about the body of work in 2024. Goldschmidt may not be back. His contract's up at the end of the year, but even if he does come back, and I'm not debating that one again, but even if, let's just say, hypothetically, Goldschmidt and Arenado are back, and Arenado certainly will be back in 2025, they're going to be a year older. The decline phase, which they are both obviously in, is going to become more severe. In other words, they're not going to get any better, okay? Then you look at the two hopes, the next generation. They're going to sort of take over. Well, this will be their core. Listen, man, I would love to say, well, Jordan Walker is going to be a lot better next year. Nolan Gorman's going to get back on track. He'll be a lot better next year. Can we really count on that? Seriously. You know, maybe some Kool-Aid drinkers will. I can't do it. I can't count on them. Because it's amazing with the seasons they had last year. I mean, Jordan Walker was really good once he got straightened out. I mean, the final 30 games or so, his numbers were incredible. And he was above average as a rookie hitter. Gorman last year, 27 home runs. He slugged .478. Yeah, he had his peaks and valleys in the strikeouts, but you could see this is a young guy, man, and the best is yet to come. And then both these guys go off the cliff this year. So why should I believe and say, oh, don't worry about them. They're going to be great. I can't say that. I don't think anybody who's looking at this rationally can assume they're going to bounce back and have really good seasons. I hope, but I can't assume. And I can't have phony optimism because you got to have a basis for optimism. I don't have a basis for optimism. You look at Brendan Donovan. I've always liked him a lot. But he gets beat up as he is now. I'm talking, injuries. He already had elbow surgery. He gets beat up. He plays hard. I give him credit for that. But his OPS plus, adjusted OPS, it's not that fancy. 100 is average. It's down for the second straight season. And his numbers have never matched what he did in his first season. And this year, he's barely above average offensively. So the trend line's pointing down for him, but he's still solid enough. Nootbaar, Lars Nootbaar. How many years are we talking about him? Well, boy, that guy, he's going to be something else. That guy, watch out. Yeah, when he can stay healthy and he can stay in the lineup for a long enough period to get his timing down and to get his rhythm down and, you know, kind of remove the kinks from his swing and all that stuff. Because he's a fidgety hitter. He's always messing with stuff. He can't stay healthy, number one. And number two, even when he stays healthy, it's not like he's blowing anybody away. And he's not a baby anymore either. You know, he's 26, be 27 next season. Once again, his OPS plus is down for the second straight year. And in 20, compared to his first year in the majors, Nootbaar, his first year in the majors, was 2022, and his numbers were really good. He was a really exciting talent. But if you look at compared to 2022, this year, he's got career low batting average, on base percentage, slugging. End of story. Again, trend line going down. Alec Burleson. Listen, overall, I'm pleased with the season he has had this year, okay? But he has faded and deteriorated terribly since around the third week of July. The power is missing. He hasn't hit a home run since the middle of August. He's hit three home runs since July 22nd. His slugging percentage is in the tank. And we may say, we may attribute this to, well, long season, you know, maybe he's a little worn out. We can say that about Mason Wynn, and that's okay because Mason Wynn's going to be a star. That is one source of hope. But suppose pitchers have figured something out on Burleson. My point is this. I feel good overall about his season, but the fact that he has been really bad since the third week of July, that raises questions about, well, what can the Cardinals and their fans realistically expect from him in 2025? I would hope he would get better. But I'm going to keep repeating this phrase. Can you count on that? When it comes to Cardinals and hitters, I can't count on anything. Let's talk about the center field, you know, position. You know, they traded Bader off. They traded Carlson off. I don't know who else. They traded O'Neill off. They were all in the center field mix at one point. I'm not, you know, living in the past. I'm just mentioning it's just been this crazy carousel. Mike Cianni, very good defensively. Victor Scott, good defensively. Victor Scott was starting to hit. And then, of course, in their eternal wisdom, they sent him down. Okay, great. Yeah, that's the way you do it. Way to give those young hitters confidence, right? Man, Victor, you've been doing great. Dude, you've been doing great. Last 11, 15, 16 games, wow. It's coming on. You can see it. Victor, go down to Memphis. We can't have that. We can't have good offense up here by a young player. Now, we're going to mess with your head a little bit. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, you look at the center field position as a whole this season, okay? Now, you tell me how it gets better next year unless they commit to Victor Scott and he becomes he accelerates in his development as a hitter because he does have upside. This year, the Cardinals, and pardon the numbers, this year, the Cardinals, in terms of center field production, They're 23rd. There's 30 teams. They're 23rd in batting average. They're 27th in on-base percentage. They're dead last in slugging. They're 38% below league average using the one metric, weighted runs created plus. 38% out of that position below league average. Their OPS as a team, who they've used in center field, you add it all up, only when they play center field, have the worst OPS in the majors. They've hit four home runs all season from when a guy's in the lineup playing center field. That's tied for 29th, or if you want to say it in a different way, that's tied for last. The offensive production out of center field is just ghastly. It's so bad. You look at the outfield as a whole, and where do you look to get big power? Where do you look to get a lot of your productions? Traditionally, it's always been first base, third base. Well, we know that's down, and it's going to stay down. Then you look, well, your corner outfields in particular. And, you know, in these days you see center fielders, you know, the center fielders are, you know, a lot of really good hitting center fielders. Okay. The Cardinals outfield as a whole, I'm just going to just keep it at a couple stats because you get the gist of this, right? The entire outfield at bats as outfielders, 28th in slugging, 26th in OPS. 32 home runs all year, only 32. All three spots combined, 32 home runs, fewest in the major leagues. You get the point. I don't have to give you any more numbers. Wilson Contreras, when he's been able to play this year, has been a terrific hitter. Now, there's a little bit of there's a faction out there that just they're obsessed with trying to prove some case that Wilson Contreras sucks or something. Listen, he improved his defense. I'm not saying he's Johnny Bench. I'm certainly not saying he's Yadier Molina, but he did get better defensively. And he still, when healthy this year, still is one of the best hitting catchers in baseball. In fact, if you look at him just among Cardinals, I mean, his OPS plus is 36% above the league average. That's a good hitter. So you can come up with any cockamamie theories you want. You know, when you're a catcher that hits 36% above average, that's an asset, all right? There's no way to disparage that unless you have some kind of agenda. And here's the deal with Contreras. Now, the two injuries that he has suffered this year weren't really his fault. They were, you know, he got hit by a pitch this most recent time. And then, of course, we know he got whacked on the forearm by a swing by J.D. Martinez back in early May. So my question is Wilson is going to be 33 next season. Can he stay healthy? And at what point maybe does some kind of age-related decline kick in? I mean, and will he have to be use more DH just to save the wear and the tear? I don't know. I think Wilson Contreras will be a really good hitter next season, so I will give him that, and I will have confidence in that. And I'm sure some of you will, you know, say, oh, no, you're wrong. Okay, whatever. I mean, it's all good. You look at Lukin Baker. I would love to think, yeah, all right, they got plans for him, and we've seen that the big man can take walks. It's very small sample, right? He can take a lot of walks. He has really shown some real patience waiting for his pitch at the plate. And he has, in his brief time back up, before they decided he can't help them. He was slugging .550. But I'm glad in the last seven games, a guy like that, he's only got three plate appearances. It was smart. Real smart. Anyway, so how the heck, they won't play him now. After he has shown, wait a minute now, there's some real value there. Now he's got to prove it over time, but there's something there. If they won't play him now, what's the basis of confidence that he'll get a real chance in 2025? Maybe a new manager, maybe a whole new staff, maybe a new front office. I don't know, but how do we know what that's the thing. We don't know for sure who's going to be making decisions on all this stuff. So we're in the dark. Listen, I think Mason Wynn, he ran out of gas. Most innings he's played in a single season in his career. It's shortstop. It's a demanding position. He plays what I would say is a really physical brand style of shortstop defense. You know, it's just not like kind of a casual thing. I mean, he's going all out. He's throwing his body around. He's, you know, he's uncorking those big throws and everything else. Dude plays hard. You know, 22-year-old guy, maybe running out of gas down here towards the end. I'm not going to condemn him. There are so many other people to point fingers at. Mason Wynn ain't one of them. He's the one guy where I say he's only going to get better and better and better. I think a guy like Herrera, Ivan Herrera, has shown an ability to hit. But what will his role be going forward? Again, the Cardinals have these positional clogs, congestion, where they have too many guys at one position. They may even have a couple of guys in the minor leagues catching prospects that appear to be good hitting prospects. But how many, you know, it's like they can't find a big-time hitting outfielder to save their lives. They can't find anything proven and established offensively in center field. But if you want, I'm going to exaggerate on purpose here, but I tell you what, if you want 27 catchers in the minor leagues who can hit, again, intentional exaggeration, oh, they got those. They always wind up where they don't have enough overall offensively to spread it around. You know, it's like, well, you know, we got this prospect at that position here, 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 here. No, it's always like this big log jam at one position. Great planning by the front office. And this brings me to maybe the last point I want to make here. Who are the high-end hitting prospects? Okay. I think we can agree that the young dude that they just drafted seventh overall, J.J. Weatherholt. Listen, people outside of the Cardinal sphere, we're talking about all the neutral, the third-party draft watchers, prospect evaluators. They believe this guy is going to be really, really, really good. That's not absurd hype. He's just a hitter. He's a natural hitter. And I would hate to think they'll have people around who can actually screw him up, okay? Weatherholt, yeah, you can be excited about him. Listen, I'm not saying Chase Davis, who they drafted in the first round a couple years ago, I'm not saying that, okay, he's going to be outstanding. However, after a slow start in the minor leagues, he has definitely shown why they drafted him. He's got real talent, and he is an outfielder, so it's just a matter of him continuing to put that together, getting better and better and better. My point is, I am trying to be fair here. I don't want to condemn everything just to be a hot take loudmouth. I feel better about Chase Davis in terms of his opportunities or his development. He could be somebody that could really help the team, maybe not next season, but in 2026. Listen, I'm glad they brought up Thomas Sejesi, and I think that he's going to be a nice piece on this team going forward. Is he a high-end hitting prospect? I would like to look for things and say, well, yeah, I think he is. There are some things he does really, really well. But I also think maybe we shouldn't get too carried away with that. And I put myself in that group. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody else. And one thing I looked at, again, the research, I got to do it. The one thing initially that concerns me about Sejesi coming to the major leagues, he was overpowered at AAA this season, and I got all the numbers. I ain't going to read it. Trust me, you know that I back this stuff up. He was overpowered at AAA by four-seam fastballs. I mean, he hit the off-speed stuff pretty good. He was pretty good against sliders, pretty good against, you know, different other pitchers. Four-seam fastballs, though, very low batting average, slugging percentage, not much to look at, and a 31% strikeout rate. Now, listen, as much as I'd like to believe in Sejesi, and I like him, major league pitchers are going to don't get that information because there's, you know, a lot of teams that are much smarter than the Cardinals. They give their people pertinent information, right? You give a major league pitcher just a glance at his hitting profile and say, wait a minute, I'm going to have to make this dude show me that he can hit a four seam fastball. So they should be. And I didn't check last night. I'll go back and do that today because he was 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. I wonder how many four seamers they pumped at him last night. So he's going to have to show, like all young guys, the first thing you got to prove is you can hit a high velocity fastball. So that's one question I have. I have good feelings about him, but I'm just saying, you know, got to have realistic expectations until we see more. They have catching prospects that can hit. So, but they have a logjam at the major league level. So where is the hope? And listen, if I have forgotten anything, I sincerely invite you and I would appreciate and I would welcome if you pointed out someone or something that I've overlooked that would say, well, yeah, this will be better next season because of ABC. There's an old phrase or an old saying that I'm gonna mess up. Hope is not a strategy. Optimism is not a strategy. Wishing for the best is not a strategy. They have got serious problems with their offense that are not a one-year deal. The offense wasn't all that hot last year. And I want to know why we sitting here today on the 11th day of this month, I want to know what would be the basis of confidence for 2025 if they come back with the same group. I don't know who's going to be running the baseball operation. I don't know who's going to be making the decisions. I know a lot of us said, and I know you all said, and I said it too, they didn't do a damn thing to address their offense going into 2024. We talk about the pitch, as we should, because that's a huge issue. But it's not just the pitching anymore. Some of the awful things that have happened this year with the young players collapsing again, the young hitters, and the two cornerstones getting older and their power dropping in a scary fashion. They have an offensive problem, and they have a problem with personnel. They don't have enough, as my friend John Shambi, you know, of ESPN, now the Cubs broadcaster, when I had him on my show over at 101 ESPN, I said, what's wrong with their offense, Boog? And he said something. It just made me laugh at the time, but I repeat it every so often. He says, they need more good dudes. They don't have enough good dudes, meaning not enough good hitters. And they still don't. This was like 3 years ago. And they still don't have enough good dudes with the bat in their hands. So just when we, again, are agonizing, like, my goodness, what is this rotation going to look like next year if they insist on paying Miles Michaelis? Oh, we're not going to, no, we're paying him to do a job. He's going to give us innings. And they stick with Steven Matz as a rotation guy. And what happens if the fact they respect Kyle Gibson, and I do too, but I think you need to upgrade. Lance Lynn, forget about it. So what's going to happen with their rotation if they kind of run it back and they're going to have a lot of pieces that were here this year? And they're not going to give young starters a chance to be in that rotation. So we have that to still worry about. But I'm telling you, the offense, in my book, is an equal problem and an equal concern. And it's a really heavy, heavy, heavy concern going forward. So unless somebody else takes over and they get real smart real soon and they know how to spend their money right, and all of a sudden the Cardinals go from one of the many mentally challenged front offices, right, incapable of making really good judgments, not really knowing how to spend money, not being able to find good value, unless they go from that, and in a matter of a couple of months, they become, as an organization, really, really smart, right? I don't know, my friends. I don't know. I wish I could sing a happy song to you, but because I like to talk about positive things. I like it when the baseball in St. Louis is really, really good, but it's not, and there's no need to try to con anyone into thinking that it is. Oh, hope is right around the corner. Like I said, hope is not a strategy. One other thing before I go, I got a lot of comments on the hat I wore yesterday because I did order some new hats because I like to wear hats now. And I love vintage stuff, right? So the hat I wore yesterday, and I'll wear it again, obviously, 1929 St. Louis Stars, which was a Negro League team here in St. Louis. Now, the one today, if you don't mind me, I'm wasting your time at the end. You wouldn't recognize that logo, okay? As soon as I saw this one, I like clicked, I'm buying it. This is the replica cap, the vintage cap of the St. Mary's Industrial School in Baltimore. And you might say, and I don't blame you, well, what, like, that's kind of random, right? No. That's where a young wayward hellion on the streets of Baltimore, his father owned a saloon. And he didn't have a mom, and he was just running wild on the streets. He was, as they say, truant. And I'm talking about George Herman Babe Ruth, right? His father didn't know what to do with him, and he literally walked him over to St. Mary's Industrial School for Boys and told the priest there, you gotta take him in. I'm running a saloon. I can't do anything with this wild child. And they put him in St. Mary's Industrial School for Boys. And the rest, as we say, is history. I mean, Babe and the very young baby, you know, he learned discipline. He was under control. And he discovered a little thing called baseball. And there was a brother, Matthias, who taught him the game and told him, you have talent. We're going to work on this. And he... that's where he was discovered by the scouts. And so that's where it all began. And it's now a high school. Well, it's been a high school in Baltimore a long, long, long time, Cardinal Gibbons. And they use the same buildings. The baseball diamond, at least the last time I was there, was the exact same diamond in terms of where it was laid out in relation to the school, way beyond the outfield. And, you know, you could see with places where the young Ruth hit balls, you know, into the ozone. And I played a lot of sporting events at Cardinal Gibbons High School because we were in the same Catholic league where I went to high school. I played on that baseball field, and I'm thinking Babe Ruth was on this field. My goodness. And the other thing about this is I was born in a hospital basically across the street from the St. Mary's Industrial School for Boys. So now you know why I wanted this cap. I think it's really cool, especially with the history and especially with the fact that I have a remote connection to that place, right? So maybe I've gone too long. Some of you probably saw, I don't hear him talking about no hat. I got a lot of comments on yesterday's hat, so I thought, you know, for those who wanted to stay and listen, I should have told you in advance I'd be talking about it, but I didn't claim to be polished here, right? That's the story on this hat, and I have a couple others to roll out, and I'm going to be ordering more because I love this stuff. It makes me happy. Got to spend some money on something, right? That'll do it for today. Thank you, as always. Might pop back later today with another Bernie Show. Take care.